Good morning. It's good to see everyone out, especially after this cold spell and being almost trapped in. My daughter-in-law came down from North Dakota. She thought it was a heat wave. They were 30 below, so, 22 and 46 sounded real good to her. But it was real cold to us. So it is good to see, my brethren. It's always good to be in the assembly of the saints. There is something very special about, this particular process of joining ourselves together for the purpose of offering up honor and praise, to a, God, our Heavenly Father, who deserves so much more than we will ever be able to give Him. But we give Him all that we have and all that we are. And we're thankful for the wonderful privilege that we have to stand with one another, side by side, arm in arm, to be able to engage in this wonderful opportunity of worship. I suppose everyone has their resolutions already written down on paper, right? You have your top 10 list ready to go. And then there are those who they don't do resolutions. The only resolution they have is they're not making any. So to those who have not made any resolutions, I would suggest to you that a resolution is a good thing, if it is a good resolution. And I want to talk a little bit about a resolution that I have on my list. I have several of them. And one of the values of resolutions in keeping them, sometimes people make them, and then by February, they've forgotten all about them, right? Some of the reasons for that is we find it hard to hold ourselves accountable to those kind of things. We don't tell anybody what those resolutions are, and so we've got nobody else to hold us accountable. So today, I want to mention maybe a couple of them on my list with the hope and anticipation that you will help hold me accountable for my resolutions. As you can see, our tree is barren. So I hope that on your resolution that you made for 2018 is to read, read, and read some more. We accomplished as a congregation reading over 1,500 books. I believe it was 1,537 or 38 books of the Bible that we read. That is a huge number. But at the same time, it is not a number that we should be satisfied with. Personally, I think we can do better. And I think we can do much better. So let me offer you this challenge as a congregation, as I have established to do a lot more reading in my Bible. I've established to read at least 100 more books than I read last year. So I want you to make a resolution with me to read more Bible. Now, whatever that translates to you and to your situation, make sure that it's challenging for you. If you can get it done in January, it's not a yearly challenge, is it? If you can finish it by June, then it's not a yearly challenge. Make sure that it will challenge you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what interests me is Peter concludes that letter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, a passage we're familiar with. This is actually his conclusion to both books. See, the theme of the first book, he tells us in chapter 5 and verse number 12, that this that he's writing about is the true grace of God. And then in 2 Peter, he writes and he includes so much about growing in knowledge. Grace here is akin to the application of God's knowledge. God supplies us with His knowledge, and out of that knowledge, He graces us with an ability to accomplish everything that He has given for us to do. Isn't it great that we have a God that does not hold us accountable for things that we cannot do? But He challenges us to do everything within our power to accomplish exactly what He has said. We have a great God. And as such, one of our challenges should be to get to know Him more intimately. One of the ways that we can do that is by reading, and then the second is by doing. Reading knowledge without application is of little value. And in fact, I would say it's worse than little value. It is actually a crime to read the Bible and not apply the great principles of Christianity is a crime against God. It is a crime against the Christ who sacrificed Himself upon the cross. It is a crime against the Holy Spirit who inspired these men to author these words so that we might possess them. It is a crime against the apostles. Every one of them gave their life so that you might possess this Word of God. It is a crime against all of the saints of God who have gone before. That hall of faith that Paul draws from in Hebrews chapter 11 out of the Old Testament, that hall of faith is still in existence today. You and I are blessed with people around us that will or are in God's hall of faith. We are blessed and privileged to have individuals surrounding us with that kind of mentality, that kind of work ethic, that kind of faith, and that kind of love. And as a congregation, I hope and pray that we will develop, if we've not already, and if so, then we will maintain what Paul describes of the Thessalonians as their work of faith, their labor of love, and their hope and anticipation in Christ. That they set themselves as an example, not just to those in Macedonia, but also to Achaia and everywhere the Word of God was spread about who this church was. That's my goal for this congregation in 2018, is that we might develop into that and maintain that kind of work. But you know, there is at least, I've not included it on my list before. Something that I really want to focus our attention upon in the time that we have remaining. And that is the idea of being joyful. Rejoicing. You know, I've never had that on my list, that I have it as a goal in my life to rejoice. A goal in my life to be the kind of person that will attract other people by the joy that they possess. We all know individuals that have absolutely no joy in their life, and we know that they are repulsive to other people. That by their very nature and demeanor, they have a tendency to repel other people. And then we know of individuals that are extremely joyful in their life. You can't talk to them where you do not leave that conversation where you are encouraged and edified and built up. Now, who would you like to spend your life with? I would like to spend my life with the individual that I can fill my tank with rather than the individual that is always emptying my tank. And so it is important then that we understand the ideal of joy and how that affects other people. You know, it affects me and my relationship that I have. If I am always negative about the New Testament church, it will not be long before the New Testament church is devalued on my list. See, right now it's pretty high on my list. I love the church. I delight in every activity of the Lord's church. I want to be a participant in the labor that the Lord's church is involved in. And so it is a delight. It's high on my priority. Now, I would not suggest this as an example for someone, but you've seen it happen in people's lives to where something occurred that joy level went down. And when that joy level went down, you began to see it manifested in their life. No longer are they a willing participant in things. Now it might be a wife who has to drag her husband to services or vice versa. It might be parents who have to drag their teenagers or their children to services. At one time they enjoyed being here, but now for some reason that joy has dropped immensely. And so you see it manifested each day. You see it in how they talk about the New Testament church. You see it in their speech. It used to be that they couldn't wait to meet somebody new so that they could have a conversation about, hey, have you heard about the Church of Christ? Hey, have you heard about the Ninth and Main congregation and what's going on there? And I had that joy level that was real high. That's where I wanted to be. Anytime the doors were open, I didn't have to be drugged in. I was there to open the doors. I was there to make sure that I was a participant of that. Our joy level will determine a lot of what we do or fail to do in 2018. And so I want to talk just a few minutes about three individuals. I referenced the ideal earlier, but you know, there are some individuals that just give out a sense of radiance. They give out a sense of energy when you are around them. I'm not talking about, we all know individuals who have false enthusiasm. I'm not talking about that kind of individual. I'm talking about the kind of individual that understands, well, such passages as Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1, where Paul or the author there admonishes those brethren, encourages them to let brotherly love continue. Now, obviously, here is a congregation of people in Jerusalem that the author is writing to that possessed the kind of love that they needed. So he encourages them, don't let that kind of love fail. Keep it going, in other words. This is what you have. Now I want you to keep it going. I don't want you to let anything disrupt or interrupt the services of that love. You know, there's nothing worse than wanting to watch something on television. Maybe like, well, I really don't want to watch the national championship in college football anymore. But I am rooting for Georgia. I don't know why, but just to let you know that. But if the Sooners were still playing in it, and I was watching it, and I have Suddenlink at home, and all of a sudden, now I give you a better example than that. Last week, the Sooners were playing, but before they started, I had alarms going off in my house. And I could not find out where those alarms were coming from. I do have an alarm system that I haven't used in a while. And so I thought, man, that alarm system has gone off. I called Suddenlink. I probably shouldn't have mentioned Suddenlink now that I'm going to tell you this story. But I called Suddenlink for about 2 hours I tried to call them. I'm sorry, this is a holiday. We're not open today. Wait a minute. I have a security system with you. I'm not talking about whether or not my television went out. I have a security. How can you have a vacation on a security system? That's like calling 911 and 911 says, I'm sorry, but we're out on a holiday today. You're like, what? This is a 24/7 activity, right? And besides, my football game is about to come on. Forget the holidays. It's football day and my team is playing. And there's this noise, ear, screeching through the house. I'm surprised my neighbors didn't come over. So, you know, finally, I'm calling around. I get ADT. I don't mind telling you their name because they were the only ones that answered the phone and solved the problem. So I'm on with ADT and he says, you know, have you thought that it might not be your... I have taken the box off of the wall at this time. There is no electricity going to this thing. But I think that's the way it's supposed to work. So I get on the phone with ADT and he says, have you thought that it might be your smoke alarms? I'm like, I never heard a smoke alarm this loud. But there were three of them going off at the same time. And here I am upset at my security system and all I got to do is take a battery out. But you know what I told the guy at ADT and at Suddenlink when I finally got a hold of them? Suddenlink will no longer be my carrier. Because I couldn't get a hold. It wasn't the fact that it was the smoke alarms. It was the fact I couldn't get a hold of you when I needed you. And that's important. Now then, I want you to imagine that connectivity right at the end of the game. We're in double overtime. If you watch the game, we were in double overtime. I don't know how we missed that field goal or how Baker Mayfield doesn't come through, but he doesn't. It's the Heisman curse, I think. But that's a different story altogether. But here we are, and I'm watching that last series. Georgia has the ball. The television goes down. No, it didn't in my house. Unfortunately, I got to see the whole thing. But you know, I would have been furious if the connectivity had gone down. Now, my friends, there are only two sources of connectivity with relationship to you and God. Only two. Now, I realize we have a... There is a subsystem when we come to worship and when we enjoy one another's fellowship outside of worship. When we're at one another's homes and we're engaging in visitation and hospitality with one another or we're going out to eat together, there is a sense in which that is a substation of what we are talking about. But there is only two sources. Number one is prayer. My communication to God and His Word, which is His communication to me. That's how important these two items that we're talking about, that we've used as illustrations, that's the connectivity that we have to God. So if you cut off the connectivity, if you turn off the connectivity, then you can't experience the joy of the Lord. You can be happy and you can be enthusiastic about everything in life outside of your inner man, outside of your soul, outside of your eternal glory, you see. And so he says, let brotherly love continue. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 17, he would talk about how much he loved the brotherhood. There is something very valuable in this Bible that produces joy in the sense of brotherhood. So what kind of person are you? Do you give energy to others? Do you sap energy from others? Or do you just waste it? I don't know what kind of person that you are, but think about these individuals here that he's talking about. Here is an individual who loves the brotherhood. He wants to be a part of, he delights in the activity of his brethren. You know what that's going to translate into, right? This is the person who helps other people. This is the person that you can always count on, unlike that one security system that I'll try not to name anymore. But you can count on them when you call them up and you need something. You know they're going to be there, or you know they're going to find somebody to be there. By the way, Brother Raphael had a tremendous Bible lesson today. And if you missed out, especially I want to talk to our parents, if you missed out on his Bible class this morning, I want to encourage you to be here Wednesday night and next Sunday morning and throughout his classes. He's been doing a tremendous job in talking about God's pattern for the family. But I also want to encourage you, if you missed this morning, you can go on the internet and you can listen to the archived Bible class. Please do that. It is an excellent, excellent lesson this morning for parents. And I say that because the ones who have this level of energy are the ones that you don't have to worry about when it comes to Bible class. Because they're going to be there. And they're not going to come in, with that mentality and disposition of, well, I have to be here. What would people think if I wasn't here? No, these are the people who help other people. Do you realize that Bible class is not just about you and what you get out of Bible class? Have you ever thought about when you don't attend? This is not a attend or don't attend sermon. I just want to use it as an illustration. Think about this. When Raphael comes here, Raphael's a good man. Don't hold your hand. This is not a court. I don't want anyone disagree with that. Raphael's a good man. He's got a good wife. He's got good children. We love Brother Raphael and his family here. Have you ever thought about the discouragement that might enter into his mind if you're not here? If there's about 3 or 4 people out there, and he knows that there could be a whole crowd of 100 or more. And so here he is. He's prepared all week long. He's prepared for years to just teach this one Bible class right here on parenting. See, you're not just here to gain information, to fill up your tank. You're here to help Raphael maintain his tank. But what about your brother and sister in Christ? They're sitting on that pew all by themselves. And they need your encouragement. You see, Bible class is more than just about filling my tank. It's I get to help Raphael maintain his tank, or whoever's teaching your Bible class, and I get to help my brother and sister maintain their tank. You see, that's what worship is about. That's what our gatherings are about. We're helping other people. We're saying kind words to one another. We're smiling at one another. By the way, I put that in there because Mike's not here and y'all need to be told to smile. I did call out Raphael, but somebody asked me this morning, what am I going to do if Mike calls out my name again? I said, if he calls out my name, he's going to have to do it on the phone because it's a long ways off to Fruitvale. So I had to put that in there just for him. But I want you to think about these people. These are the kind of people that are the kind of people that you want to be. They share their lives with other people. They stand for what is right. You don't have to worry about them. You don't have to worry about where they're going to come down on a particular Bible issue. You know where they're going to come down because you know their acquaintance and their intimacy with the Word of God. They're going to fill your tank. They're always going to tell the truth. And sometimes it'll hurt. Sometimes it'll hurt them, and sometimes it'll hurt us. But they're going to tell the truth even when it's difficult. Those are energy givers, you see. Those are individuals that I want to be around because when I leave, my tank is full. Brother Mike and I, he mentions this from the pulpit every now and then, but he and I, get to have a unique relationship. Because we share a hallway. And so we're in one another's offices quite a bit during the day. And there's no greater joy that I have than being able to sit down with someone of like precious faith and to be able to talk with them about some difficult issues. I will tell you, by the way, if you repeat this, I might have to deny it. No, I just spoke about telling the truth. But Brother Mike fills my tank every day. And for that, I am greatly appreciative of him and his family being here with us. But you could be around one of those energy wasters. They waste your energy every time that you're around them. Now, if we have energy to give, it's there are people out there with need. But there are some people that do it in a sinful manner, such as James chapter 1 and verse number 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And they take away from your energy to serve the Lord and to evangelize and to strengthen the brethren. They're always in need. They never give, but they're always wasting those times. They will help you if it's convenient. They will be a part of your life if it just so happens to coincide with being comfortable for where they are in their life. These are not the kind of individuals that will go out of their way to help you. You're rarely going to get a smile out of them. It might be that these are the kind of individuals that are like Elijah in the Old Testament. You know, there were some of the greatest saints in the Old Testament that also were energy drainers. And Elijah was one of those highs and lows. Highs and lows. His entire life was up and down, slaying 450 prophets of Baal and then going and running away and whining in a cave to God. Ups and downs was seemingly his entire life. Some people are like that. They really stand for nothing. Those are energy drainers. They don't know the Bible, but they oftentimes want to tell people about the Bible. I had a scenario one time where I'm sitting in a Bible study that I was invited into by a good brother in Christ. And I'm talking to somebody, and he makes the statement that is as erroneous and false as it could be. I won't give you the situation, but it is false. And so in this Bible study where we're trying to bring this other person to Christ, I now have to pause and make a correction of my brother, which, by the way, drained the energy of that Bible study. And so there are individuals, because they don't know the truth, because they haven't accepted challenges of really reading and studying their Bible and making application, they waste energy of the church. It would be a good thing to be someone who gives energy rather than waste it. Or even, how about these individuals? They just outright take it. I'm thinking of a man by the name of Diotrephes right now. In 3 John and verse number 9 beginning, John even says that when I get there, I'm going to take care of this guy. I'm going to have to waste some energy on a guy. This is a leader in the church. This is a man who has influence in the church. He should know better, but now energy has to be wasted on rebuking this individual. This is an individual, obviously, who was helping himself. He sought after the preeminence in the church, verse number 9 says. He was helping himself. He rarely could say kind words. In fact, the text specifically says, he says, wherefore, verse number 10, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. probably, I'm sure you have never met a member of the church that spoke poorly and maliciously about good people. Probably never met anybody like that. But this is the kind of individual that takes our energy. Now I want to draw your attention to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we have another example of here are two ladies in the Lord's church, Euodia and Syntyche. The Bible says that they were at one time in their life, they were great energy givers. They worked with Paul. They worked with Clement, who is mentioned in this text in verses 1 through 3. They were great evangelistic in their thought process, but something has occurred between them that they cannot get over or refuse to get over. And because of that, it is upsetting the entire church at Philippi. Paul includes them in this letter because they are disrupting the joy of this congregation. And he says to them, therefore, he says, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the faith, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodia and Syntyche that they be of the same mind. He says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and with others of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. At one time, they were an active part of helping build up this church at Philippi, but now they're slowly tearing it down. They have grabbed the energy out of this congregation. They have grabbed the joy of this congregation and they are bringing it low. In fact, I would suggest to you that the reason why Paul includes in this letter so many times, I think 17 or 18 times in four chapters he uses the word joy or joyful or rejoicing is because they were about to lose all of that. And Paul is writing this letter to stay off that draining of their joy. Enthusiasm is something that is very important in the Lord's church. The Bible uses many terms to describe this particular activity. But joy is the beginning of enthusiasm. Joy is the beginning of a determination not to quit. Joy is the beginning point and it allows us to constantly maintain our good works. I want to close by looking at the book of Titus in relationship to what we're talking about here and how joy is actually seen and manifested. You know, there are times in which I can put a smile on my face. I can make myself and my facial expressions appear that everything is okay in my life. Oftentimes we do that when we get around people. We do that when we come to services and Bible class and when in reality everything may be falling apart in my life. But I can put on a pretty good facade at times in regards to those things. But you can really tell a person's energy level of enthusiasm and joy by good works. This is the whole point of the book of Titus. For example, in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 9, there are individuals there, he says, and he begins there, individuals that are taking away from this energy level that we've been talking about. And he says in verse number 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. He says they deny Him being abominable and disobedient unto every good work. They are a reprobate. And so here are individuals that they don't participate in any good work, or they manipulate that good work for their own purpose, as Diotrephes did in 3 John verse number 9. I want you to notice chapter 2. And in chapter 2, chapter 2 is a teaching chapter. It's about the older men and the older women teaching the younger men and the younger women. And one of the things it says in verse number 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In other words, I have an MO. This is who I am. It's not something out of the ordinary. It is something that is a part of my daily routine. And so that energy level is seen in my activity in good works. But notice with me chapter 2 and verse number 14. This is why we were created. This is why we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He says, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous. Oh, there's that word, that energy level we're talking about. Enthusiasm. Zealous for good works. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. Put them in mind. Here is the work of the preacher. The work of the preacher is to put people in mind to, number one, being subject to principalities and power, to obey magistrates, and notice this, to be ready for every good work. You know the reason why some people do not participate in the work of the church oftentimes? They've not prepared themselves for it. They're not ready for it. They haven't thought about the church. They haven't participated in other works, and so they're not ready to get involved. Let's continue here and look with me at chapter 3, verse 8, and then again verse number 14. Now, he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. And then in verse number 14, he says the same thing. He says, let ours also learn to maintain good works. So once we get participating in the good works, we need to develop a habit of that. So let me see if I can bring this lesson to a close by a couple of items. You know, one of the things that this congregation has been blessed with is to have a host of visitors. I don't know if you've noticed this as a member of the church here. And so if you're visiting with us today, or you're one of those individuals that have been visiting with us for a long period of time, I want to say thank you. We have thoroughly enjoyed. The other day I counted up, we had 49 people missing in the assembly that are members. And then I counted our visitors. You know, we maintained the same number even though we were 49. Now, some of those were out of town. Some of those were sick. They were shut in because of cold weather. A lot of things kept them away. But you know what? We had a lot of visitors with us. You know, evangelism is where the church goes out into the world and seeks after individuals desiring to be saved. So let me thank you from this vantage point. You have brought your desire to be right with God to us. Now, here's my challenge, and I know my fellow elders are sick or gone, but you can tell them about it. That's okay. This you can share. What are we as an eldership? I talked about the blessing that Brother Mike and I get to have each week. He asked me the other day, he said, Rick, he said, with all of these visitors, we got to talking about y'all. Maybe yours are burning just a little bit. He says, what are the elders prepared to do with them? And I thought, ouch, that's a good, very good question. Are we kind? Are we considerate? Are we friendly? Are we individuals that demonstrate a care and a concern for your life, your situation? That's something that I have to, as an elder, we have to think about. But let me ask you as, now I'm going to take it off our visitors, shine a little light on our congregation. I want to take Mike's question to you. What are you willing to do with it? What are you prepared to do with those who are visiting with us? I hope that as a visitor, when you leave, now you might not say, you might say, man, I wish Brother Mike was here today on the sermon. That's okay. But I hope you never leave here and say, that is the most unfriendliest congregation I've ever seen. That would break my heart. Now I hope that we're sound, and we pray a lot about this church being a sound church, close to the Bible, drawing nigh to God, and those are correct prayers. But may we never forget that demonstrating the love and grace and mercy that God has placed within our lives is demonstrated by the friendliness that we are to others that do not possess maybe what we have. Have we shared it with our friends and our neighbors? Maybe one other thing, and we will close. If you have been visiting with us, maybe this is from an elder's perspective rather than a preacher, I don't know. If you have been visiting with us, and you are a member of the body of Christ, and you've been visiting with us for some time, and we've not talked to you about being a member of this congregation, working under the direction of the elders here, would you be so kind as to talk to us about it? I hope that we haven't overlooked anybody in that discussion. But I hope that your energy level will be a blessing to this congregation. And that's really the resolution that I have made, at least one of them, is to make sure that I do not take away from the level of joy and enthusiasm and zealous work of this congregation. And I pray that each one of us might have that resolution as well. Now, the only way that you can have that is to first be in Christ. And so if you're not in Christ this morning, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm pretty sure of it because you're here. Rarely do individuals visit churches unless they have some kind of belief system that God exists, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that this book is His Word. Now, based upon that, God wants to see your good works. Manifest that faith by obedience to the gospel. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We would ask that you would repent of your sins. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be buried in the watery grave of baptism. And it's at that point that God will wash away your sins. He will add you to the New Testament church. You can be a member at this congregation and work with us on that journey to glory land. We hope that you're willing to do that, to make that commitment and decision today. If you're a child of God and you've been taking away from the energy of the congregation rather than giving, and that involves some kind of sin, and that sin is public, or you need the prayers of the congregation, we want to help our brethren. We want to help fill your cup. And to do that, we may need you to come forward as well. And we will be glad to help in any way possible. If you've been visiting with us and you've been thinking about membership, oh, it may not be during a time of the invitation. You may catch one of us at the back and you may just say, I want to be a member of this congregation. We hope that you're able to do that as together we stand and sing.